This is Karen from Tucson. Well, I have two kind of different experiences I had with my father. My father passed away in 1997, and it was interesting because he was also, like, he was totally in denial about life after death, and he was even in denial about his death, even though the doctors told him he was dying. So I stayed with him through the whole time, and at the end, he, you know, when he passed away, the first experience was after about 20 minutes, I went outside, I was sitting on the bench, and all of a sudden, I felt this, like, gust of wind come up behind me, and I felt this caress, and I heard him, his voice, but he wasn't his normal voice. He was like 30, like when he was 30 or 40 years old, he was young, and he was full of excitement and elated, and he said, he used to call me sister, he said, "Sister, thank you for everything you've done, and you're right, you know, everything you said was true, you know," and it healed me so that I didn't really have to mourn his death, because that moment was so, it was just so comforting. But then the 3 days after that, this is what was so bizarre, because he was in denial, he never did anything to get his affairs in order for our family. And so it was 3 days later, I'm in the shower, and all of a sudden I hear him talking to me, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And he says, "Sister, get out of the shower. I have just a little bit of time." And this is what was interesting. He said, "I'm in like a way station, and I don't know how much time I have, and I have to give you information. You need to get out and write all of this down." So, of course, I, you know, rushed, and I got out, and I ended up dictating like 3 pages of like where specifically papers were in the files and where to find them and information to get and very vital information about insurance and all the details, and wrote it all down. And then, you know, that was that. And I haven't talked to him since, but everything that he told me that third day was exactly accurate. I went exactly to all those places where his paperwork, he said, would be, and it was all there. If he hadn't done that, we would have had no clue where to find anything. So, you know, but that time there was no, he was like rushed. He wasn't ecstatic. He wasn't in a, you know, like, he didn't seem like he was in a really, in that same elated space he was in right after the, you know, the 20 minutes after he just passed.
That's a great story.
And the finding of his, of your taking the notes and finding all the details like insurance and other papers, that's what we call evidential, because you didn't know that.
No. I had, and my mother didn't even know. And, you know, because he, you know, they say that there are some times when, you know, especially they say a lot with men, that they don't want to take life insurance out because that's when they're going to die, or they don't want to put anything down. It was like a superstition. He never wanted to believe he was going to die. And so, yeah, it was amazing, and it was so helpful. So in a way, it was like the first time was for me, I didn't have to mourn him because he, you know, he showed up for me. And the second time was for the family, because we wouldn't have known. He had like mines that he had invested in that we didn't even know about. Things that, like, our family would never have known if he hadn't given me that information.
That's incredible. And were those mines worth anything? I'm curious.
I gave it to my brother, and he researched it, and he had an attorney working on it. And they, as far as I know, no. I think it was one of those things that, you know, we invested, like, 30 years before, and, you know, bonds that now were worth like 25 cents, you know, but at the time, it wasn't, I don't think it was anything. The insurance, the actual, like, life insurance, and some of the, even information about my grandmother, his mother, that nobody knew, like, what property she owned, because she was elderly, and he was her executor, and so he gave me all that information so that I could help with that. I mean, this is what I'm saying. It was, there's absolutely no question that he appeared. This was not my, I mean, I was in the shower. This was the last thing I would have expected, was to have him just show up and say, "Okay, get out quick and write all this down." And it was like, you know, how in the world could I have known any of that, or anybody could have, you know.
What did your family say after you revealed all this information?
Well, I think, you know, my brother was very skeptical, and, you know, he didn't really want to believe that that's how I got the information. My mother did believe, but my mother, at the time, it was really interesting. My mother was in such a state of mourning that I don't think she could even, you know, she was going through her own state of deep depression. She was like, oh, okay, good. She was like sort of a zombie, you know. She wasn't coherent enough, and that's probably another reason why he told me, because she was pretty much incoherent for several months.
All right, Diane, do you get many stories like Karen's where the dearly departed comes back and says, hey, the ring is in the box under the bed and things like that?
Yes, in fact, there are a number of stories in my book about that. Gifts that were like a Christmas gift, my friend's watch when she was a little girl, and another man who had a great deal of cash stored in the wall. He had had it plastered inside a wall.
Came how much
back
money?
And told someone who worked for him about
how
it. So,
how
yes.
much did he have in the wall?
They said thousands and thousands and thousands. And this was someone who everyone thought was poor. He went running around with overalls and holes in his shirts. Lived in a little frame house, so no one ever dreamed he had any money.